One go. Welcome back to Hoops HD, everyone. This is our continuing preseason podcast. I'm your host, puppets. Chad Sherwood.
Oh, he hates puppets, don't you? It's just stupid.
Joined by David Griggs, the puppet that I hate, John Stalica. We got Matt Sikowski and John Tytel below us, our colleague Joey.
I hate Hoops HD hosts, just so anybody knows.
This is our Big Ten preview podcast, where we are going to be taking a look at everything and anything you need to know about the Big Ten for this upcoming season. In fact, after watching this podcast, David, if I'm correct, you don't even have to watch the Big Ten season, correct?
No. We're going to cover it all right now.
We're going to cover everything right now. Yeah. And I think we need to start with, when we've done our prior podcast this season, we've had one team that was almost the consensus in every conference we've done so far. We may have that again here in the Big Ten, may not, but I think we should start with Michigan State. And Tytel, if I can start with you on this Michigan program here, let me start with the first question. Is this the best team in the Big Ten and maybe one of the best teams in the country?
Yes and yes. I think they're going to be preseason top five, if not top two. Maybe top one, but I think that's pushing it with Duke. They bring back Miles Bridges, which I still can't believe. I mean, I saw him in college. I saw him score 22 against Kansas in the second round loss last March. I saw him win Big Ten Rookie of the Year. I thought he was going to be a lottery pick, and somehow he decided to come back to campus. He still has – the sophomore class is amazing. Nick Ward, 13 in the loss to Kansas. Joshua Langford, 10 in the loss to Kansas. They got a coach named Tom Izzo, who you might have heard of, four-time National Coach of the Year. Odds-on favorite to win the conference. I think Bridges is also going to be your player of the year in the conference.
Yeah, and Matt, Michigan State's prime last year, they finished 10-8 in the Big Ten. A lot of injuries. And if they stay healthy this year, this team, Lindy Sports, a magazine that I'm a big kind of a fan of, picked them number one in the nation preseason.
No, I could buy it. They are definitely top three. My one interesting question for them is role allocation. And that they almost – I guess it's too much talent isn't necessarily a bad thing, but it's properly fitting them together. Because, for instance, Miles Bridges, as good as he is, I think is best at the four in college. But they're going to have to play him a lot at the three just because they have a wealth of good big men with a couple of guys in Ben Carter and Kevin Schilling returning, plus Nick Ward and a couple of really good freshmen in Jared Jackson and Xavier Tillman. So yeah, you had five other bigs, but then again, I think Bridges' best position in college is the four.
Yeah, and to touch on something Tytel said, Michigan State is ranked second in the preseason coaches poll. So they are the top two.
Okay. Well, David, do you agree with that? Do you think they are one of the two?
I really like this Michigan State team. Matt has a point, but I just think that they're going to get it figured out. And one of the things about them last year is, beat up as they were still 10-8. They're still really strong. I don't know if I like them number two in the nation, but I definitely like them number one in the Big Ten. And I think that they're easily a protected seed. That's probably an understatement. But you can't ignore some other teams in the Big Ten. We're going to get to these later, but one of the things Michigan State doesn't have is a leader and a coach that guided a team up from Division II all the way to the NCAA tournament, led that foundation, then took over.
Why do you buy one? let me finish my take.
Malika, Michigan State, you being our schedule expert, does their schedule help them coming in this year, or is it going to hurt them? What does it look like for them, especially with the non-conference?
Considering Tom Izzo was actually apologizing about their schedule, they did tone it down a little bit this year. They're still going to be part of the PK Invitational in Portland, where they could be facing North Carolina in the championship and have a likely path of DePaul and Oregon along the way. They're still going to have Duke as part of the Champions Classic in Chicago. They'll also host Notre Dame and also play Oakland in one of the first collegiate games that'll be played in Detroit's new Little Caesars Arena. But more cupcakes on this schedule than in the past.
When we're talking about these Big Ten schedules, Stalica, while I'm with you, the Big Ten is playing its conference tournament a week earlier than normal this year in order to play it in New York City at Madison Square Garden, because the Big East has it for the following week. as a result, they actually have two early – all the teams have, I believe, two early December games in conference. Is that something that you think is going to help or hurt, or what are your thoughts on that?
I think it's going to be a little taste of what's going to be coming in the future, because starting next season, the Big Ten is actually going to be moving to a 20-game schedule, which is going to necessitate two December games anyhow.
Stupid.
But I think it's also noteworthy to point out that no Big Ten team has any games scheduled after the Big Ten tournament at Madison Square Garden, so they'll be getting a week of rest like other under-the-radar conferences would.
And
I think that's something I'm sure we're going to be talking about during the season, David, is this that thought here that we've got Big Ten teams with a week off, an extra week off before the NCAA tournament.
And I love that. As someone that has been around college basketball, it's nice to get your tournament done early. I like it because you can just kind of sit back and relax and scout. And I know this isn't so much the case with the Big Ten, but you can kind of enjoy having won a conference championship, as opposed to, you know, you have this conference tournament, and 72 hours later you're in the NCAA tournament. And from a rating standpoint, not that there aren't really high-stakes games going into that last week, but they're not conference tournament games. They're basically probably going to get bigger ratings, I would think, than what they're used to getting. Maybe not the championship game, but that's because it's the game that leads into the selection show. But all in all, I'd kind of like to play it early and get it over with. I think that that's more of an asset. And, like, for teams that do have earlier conference tournaments, you know, the West Coast Conference, the Missouri Valley, I don't think it had any adverse effect at all on those teams. I've never thought that going into the tournament, that extra time really affected this team.
Well, that's going to be interesting to see a team like Michigan State that we're looking at possibly being a one seed here, because we've never really seen teams of that caliber other than rare occasions with, you know, the Gonzagas.
We saw it last year. Yeah, Gonzaga. Wichita State got a one seed.
I guess we have seen a few of them. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
But until last year, none of them made the Final Four. So.
Right, yeah. That's, well, true.
Wichita State,
actually. But my point is still an excellent point. And I made it
myself
splendidly well.
Tytel, let's turn back to the actual teams in this upcoming season, the Big Ten, and the big storyline from last year was the Northwestern Wildcats, who finally, after 357 years, made the NCAA tournament. How good is this team this year? I mean, could they do a lot more than just make the NCAA tournament this season?
Yes. So it's all about the roster. I love Coach Collins. Schedule's not bad. Creighton, Georgia Tech, Purdue, and Oklahoma. I hate that they open up conference play again on freaking December 1st. Like, I'm still in football mode. Let's, like, push that back. Anywho, the backcourt senior.
December 3rd at Purdue also. That's a huge game for them. So, but we'll get to that. Sorry. Go ahead.
Which will, no problem, help them because they are very veteran-laden. A couple of seniors in the backcourt, Brian McIntosh and Scotty Lindsay. A couple juniors in the frontcourt, Derek Pardon and Vic Law. Pardon missed 8 games last year with a hand injury. I think he's healthy now. They also bring back Aaron Falzon, who missed all of last year due to knee surgery. If Pardon and Falzon are healthy, this is a starting five that can play with anybody in the Big Ten. Collins finally got them over the hump. They're no longer in the infamous list of 5 teams who have never made the tourney. They actually won a game when they got there. I think this team is for real, and I think they started something that is going to keep on rolling.
Yeah, and something a little historic, Chad, if I could throw out a little factoid here. This would be the first time ever that Northwestern has made back-to-back tournaments.
Well, thank you, David. That was an insightful comment. Salika, do you agree with that? Do you like this Northwestern team? Do you think they could play with anybody, including maybe even with Michigan State in this conference?
They have a shot to be within the top 5, but we'll have to see just top how consistent. We'll have to see how consistent they are, because this is going to be really the first time ever they're going to have a target on their backs. My fear is they're actually going to be playing this year their entirety in All-State Arena, because Welsh Ryan Arena is getting a facelift.
Yes, that's, Matt, that's a great point. Actually, yeah. Playing in Allstate Arena, which is a hotbed of college basketball, as I recall.
Well, yeah, put it this way. It's basically about the same distance from DePaul to there as it is Northwestern. So that is, you're talking 30, 40-minute drive off of campus down to the Allstate. So I think they'll lose a little bit of the support. I don't think it's going to – like, put it this way, if this were like a young team – that maybe overachieved last year and you're asking them to follow up, say, the Minnesota Golden Gophers, I think this would have been a bigger issue. With Northwestern veteran late in, I don't think it's going to be as big of an issue.
Well, Matt, let me stick with you a second. And you just mentioned Minnesota. So why don't we turn to them right now? And what are your thoughts on this team this season?
Now, I think like where a lot of people might be looking at Northwestern as a regression candidate, Minnesota is a little bit more one for me. That was they returned most of their key guys, although I think the loss of Eric Curry to a torn ACL is going to be far worse than people think just because their front court already had foul issues and Curry was a great sub off the bench. Now, if Reggie Lynch and Jordan Murphy get into foul trouble, there's not a whole lot there.
Well, isn't Devontae Fitzgerald back healthy this year? He lost last season with the ACL.
He wasn't all that great at A&M, but he's more of kind of like a wiggy 3-4. That like he's got decent size, but more of a perimeter type player. But like I said, David, he was not really a factor at A&M.
David, until last season, we were beating up on Rick Pitino Jr. there, or yeah. Richard Pitino, or however he wants to be called. And he kind of, you know, changed our minds last season, at least mine.
He did mine as well, and I did not have a lot of confidence in him, and I didn't think he'd done a lot prior to last year to warrant a lot of confidence. But last year, it was by far his best coaching job, and it shut me up. Yeah, I think he's a really good coach. I don't see them taking a step back. I mean, not that the injury won't affect them, but I think that they have enough back to where they might be as good or maybe even a little better this year. I'm kind of high on Minnie this year. They lost their – well, no, they didn't.
Well, Tytel, maybe I can have you break the tie here between the two of them. Matt says to take a step back. David says it may be better, and they were a 5 seed last year, which means he's talking they could be a protected seed this year. Where are you on them?
I'm high on them. Protected seed is a little tough, but I think that any concerns in the front court, I understand foul trouble is important. I love Reggie Lynch. I love the conference defensive player of the year. I love that there's still a Pitino who's allowed to coach in the NCAA. So I think that – I don't think they're a protected seed, but I think they're going to be just fine.
And Sleeka, your thoughts, are you high on them, or are you going with Matt's that they were just an overachiever last year?
They might slip a little bit compared to how they finished the regular season last year, but I don't think they're going to have history repeat itself where they – fall victim in the first round of the NCAA tournament again. Last year, they drew the short straw and lost to Middle Tennessee State in the first round.
Well, that could have been a 7-10 game anyway, so.
It should have been. But.
Well, Sleeka, let me stick with you with another team that we may have skipped over here, though some projections had them as low as fourth that I've seen, the Purdue Boilermakers. Without a guy named Caleb Swanigan, but can they be right up there in this Big Ten race, maybe not for first, but maybe the race for second and third?
I think there's an outside shot they could finish first, depending on how well Sparty's able to live up to expectations. But as far as what Purdue's going to be facing before they go into Big Ten play, they have a game at Marquette, which is also going to be part of the Gavitt series. They're going to be part of the battle for Atlantis, which is also going to include Tennessee and likely Villanova if they're able to win that game. They'll get a rematch with Louisville as part of the Big Ten and ACC Challenge, and they'll get to play Butler this year in the Crossroads Classic.
Yeah, and they played some this summer too. I guess you knew that, but yeah. In the World University Games, they represented the United States. So.
Well, David, is that going to help? Is that going to help push them up even higher this year?
Potentially, I was a little surprised they didn't win it, but. In saying that, I was equally as surprised as to how good some of the other teams were that were out there. I certainly think when you get to play an event like that as a team and not an all-star team of college players, it will help them. Because, these were some competitive games. So I think they're already seasoned a little bit.
Well, there's going to be quite a few teams that take a foreign trip once every 4 years, but it's rare you get the opportunity that Purdue did.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, that's exactly right. Like, most of the time you're on a foreign tour, it's mainly vacation. Not that you don't gel a little bit, but this was a competitive event.
David, was he wrong?
I mean, I'm sure that it helped that they got the team bonding and stuff. I don't know if I could identify any single player in the World University Games not on the Purdue roster, so I'm not ready to say that it's going to elevate them to a protected seat or anything, but it can't hurt.
And I'm pretty sure that Greg Marshall wasn't considering his trip to Canada vacation a couple years ago either.
Yeah, well, he got escorted out of the – one of the greatest things ever, he got thrown out of a game on a foreign tour and ended up in the tennis coach's office. And they're friends – apparently they're buddies now. So that's one of my favorite stories.
Let me just ask you also about the same Purdue team. You know, despite no Swanigan, you've got Vince Edwards, Isaac Haas, Dakota Mathias. This guy's back here on this team. You're not high on Minnesota. Are you high on them?
Yes, I am high on Purdue. I have them second in the Big Ten. I like, like the veteran experience. They're probably one or two guys, even if it was just depth guys, away from being maybe like a top 10 team, but I think they're a very solid 15 to 20-ish team that should be right in the hunt for protected seed again. And I think fairly close to Michigan State in conference play, because knowing the time is a history, they always take one or two more losses in conference than you expect. So I think it might be a pretty close race.
Well, Matt, let me stick with you. Beyond these top four teams we've discussed, which other than you and Minnesota, I think we all were pretty high on these four teams.
Yeah.
Who's your next level team? Who's the next team that comes in for you in the Big Ten?
I actually have the Michigan Wolverines in fourth place.
And okay.
I might have had them in second if they didn't DJ Wilson, but they still returned Mo Wagner, returned Duncan Robinson, returned Mustafa Ali Rahman, I believe he had one, who really took a step up toward the end of last year. They got a guy I'm watching, Charles Matthews, a Kentucky transfer. Chicago kid who probably maybe went a step above what he should have, but Michigan should be the perfect level for him. And then also got Ohio grad transfer, Jared Simmons, who I think should come in at the point for Derek Walton. And I think, nice lineup, got some depth, still got Duncan Robinson. And then also I think Xavier Simpson takes a step forward as a sophomore too, and you can maybe see some Simmons backcourts where you have dual point guards.
Yeah.
Well, Stalika, you're an Ohio guy. How about that Jaron Simmons? Is between him and Charles Matthews, who's right in your backyard there too in Kentucky, right? You think these are the type of guys that could push Michigan up this year?
I think Michigan has a shot of making the NCAA tournament, but I'm not 100% sold on them like Matt would be. I mean, I'll be getting to another team on the other side of the conference a little bit later as to who I think is more of a lock.
A team on the other side of the conference is more of a lock. Well,
I know who that is.
David, well, I know who you think he's talking about. You're probably wrong.
I have two teams I'd like to talk about here. First is a team that's finished in the top four for 15 years, and you can't overlook Whiskey. I mean, I know that they lost a lot, but just how many times have they finished a lot higher than what we expected from the start? So just on history alone, I wouldn't be surprised if they're up there. And then the other team you have to look at is and you got to look at the coaching here, because it's a guy that's built up sub 250 RPI programs multiple times.
Right to noise.
What the hell? Why am I never allowed to finish my take? You can't just keep buzzing me in the middle of my takes.
Let's seriously talk a little bit about Wisconsin. Salika, I know you had some thoughts on this Wisconsin team, in fact, this year. Coming in, I believe they have like 20 straight years they've made the NCAA tournament and not looking like a solid team heading into the season.
This wasn't the team I was alluding to a short while ago, but as the puppet said, Ethan Happ is going to be the only returner of note that's going to be joining the Badgers this year, because you're replacing guys like Bronson Koenig, Vito Brown, and Nigel Hayes, among others. That's a lot of experience to fill, and Zach Showalter.
Well, Tytel, do you think that this could be the end of the tournament streak for Wisconsin?
I don't. I think they're good enough, even if they're not in the top four in the conference, to still make the tourney. Happ could be the best player in the nation. He was almost a double-double machine last year. He plays defense. I've heard from several accounts over the summer that he is working on a three-point shot, which would make him near unstoppable. I understand he's one guy, and he should get double-teamed on every possession because they lost so much, like John said. But I think they're still good enough that they can make the tournament.
They lose a lot, but they still schedule like an NCAA tournament team because they're going to have Xavier at home. They're going to be playing Baylor, and either UCLA or Creighton as part of the CB Hall of Fame Classic. They have a back-to-back road trip against Virginia and Temple, and then they come home to face Marquette shortly after that. So,
wow, that is some heavyweight scheduling.
This is not the Hostess Bakery on their schedule.
No.
Let me turn to another team here that we haven't mentioned yet. And David, I know that it's a little bit strange for us to be talking about ACC teams while we're doing the Big Ten preview, but how about the Terrapins?
I don't know. I've got a lot of question marks about them. I mean, I still think they're a solid tournament team, but, you know, it's just going to be tough playing in a league with Duke being as good as they are, North Carolina certainly returning a lot. It's just not going to be easy for them. And then you got to start to look also at the other team that's relatively new to the Big Ten that's being led by Tim Miles and just –
what the? Matt, let's search it. Matt, seriously, on Maryland and not this other team that keeps getting buzzed here. Melo Tremble gone, but a lot of other teams back.
Yeah, I got him right on the bubble, like in the play-in game. So, like, just in the tournament, I feel like I could either be way wrong or, like, even not down enough on them. They're one team that could go totally. Like, top 15 if everything clicks. Anthony Cowens, a stud. Kevin Herter's a stud. Justin Jackson plays as good as all the scouts think he is. Or if they struggle without Melo Tremble, who I think bailed them out a lot in close games, they could be, yeah, like, 17 and 15. So, like, I'm kind of going in the middle here, but, like, I almost feel like it might just go one way or the other.
And Tytel, they also bring in Sean Obi, who was a grad transfer, was at Duke last year, not really a factor, but put up some big numbers at Rice before that. He's on his third school now. Could he be a factor here?
Could be, but I think you could put up big numbers at Rice, so I don't know that I would say that we're ready to put him in the all-conference team yet. The game I'm looking at is on my birthday. They host Butler. My request for a credential has been approved. It has not arrived yet, and I assure you that if it does arrive, I will be there, and if it doesn't, they will fear my wrath.
why am I never approved for these credentials? I don't understand.
Let me go back to this. Approve you.
Yeah.
I think they insist on impartiality in the media, puppet.
Stalika, you said you did have another team that you really were high on in the Big Ten that you thought was a tournament team. Can you tell us who that was?
That's going to be Penn State. They're actually going to have, three super sophomores in Stevens, Watkins, and Bostic, all of whom were recruited out of the Philadelphia area. Their schedule leaves a little bit to be desired. They're going to be facing Pitt in either Oklahoma State or Texas A&M as part of the Legends Classic in Brooklyn. They will have games at NC State at home against GW. And also a trap game at George Mason, but lots of cupcakes beyond that, or tasty cake, as they call it in their neighborhood.
I think this Penn State team could be right there. Tony Carr is another sophomore you didn't mention on this team. Could put up big numbers. Matt, do you think that this is a year? Or you think they're a year away?
I think they're a year away. I think they'll probably be in the NIT, and that's enough progress to keep everything in place there, but probably a year away.
Okay. Tytel, what are your thoughts on Penn State?
Sophomore class is great, but we're all forgetting about senior Shep Garner. Who's his cousin? Flav, come on, people. That's enough to get you an attorney. Did you not know that? I thought that was common knowledge.
Oh,
I did not know that, but David probably did.
Sure, why not? Yeah. I'll just say that I did, whether I didn't or not.
Matt, I think we're probably stepping below NCAA tournament teams at this point, unless somebody else wants to make a case. But I know
well,
you want
yes,
to talk about
it. Yes, I think that you're we're overlooking one.
We are. This is okay. A lot of belief in the coach, but I think Illinois is going to make the tournament.
Oh, my God. You're crazy.
Okay, Brad Underwood, after one season in Oklahoma State, comes over to Illinois this season. And interestingly enough, Oklahoma State ends up being part of the FBI probe. But go ahead, Matt. Give us a reason for Illinois.
I think they got some sneaky talent there. The two marks they brought in the spring were big. Mark Smith, Illinois Mr. Basketball, and then Wright State transfer Mark Allstork. Well, I think also they'll play a little bit more on the wing. He won't have to have the ball in his hands as much. You've got some sneaky talent coming back. Tejan Lucas, point guard, and then Leron Black was a five-star level kid when John Gross brought him in. Has never really played in that, but I think Underwood's going to get more out of him. Michael Finke can stretch the floor at the five. And then some other freshmen. Trent Frazier was Mr. Basketball, I believe, in Florida. He was a really nice kid. And also, to feel old, Frank Williams' son, DeMonte Williams, has actually looked really good at practice is what I heard. And I think sort of the Oklahoma State, they could be a little bit small, but I think fast, hit some threes, and just be tough to play against, score a lot of points. And I think sneak into the sixth or seventh of the Big Ten.
David, you and I followed that Stephen F. Austin team when Brad Underwood was there, and that's the way that he does win games with that type of team. But can he do it at this level?
I think he can. I don't think he's going to do it right out of the gate. I think there's going to be, a transitional period. And it's just, again, playing at Oklahoma State last year, it's not like he's coming in straight from the Southland, so there is sort of a sample size there to go off of. I just don't think Illinois is quite there yet. And who knows if he'll still be there next year. We'll see where the probe leads.
Well, Titel, another team we haven't mentioned yet that was in the NCAA tournament last year was the Iowa Hawkeyes. And they returned four starters, but why haven't we discussed them yet?
They weren't in the tournament, Chad. They were the first four out, but they
well, close enough.
Wow.
I'm not perfect again. Sorry.
We're in preseason. It's an exhibition podcast. Yes. Don't worry about it, Jen.
But what about Iowa?
We like them for next year. They don't really have any senior leadership. A good junior class with Nick Bayer and Ahmad Wagner. Love the sophomore class. Jordan Bohannon, Tyler Cook, Cordell Pemsel. In 2 years, I think this team is making the tourney. It's not this year. Cook was injured last year, missed seven games. He still shot a perfect 7 of 7 in the NIT loss to TCU. And, of course, Coach Fran McCaffrey, Penn Zone, been two tourneys for the Quakers, so I got some love for him, but not this year. Wait a couple years.
Well, Stalika, our colleague Kyle Lamb was going to be with us tonight. Unfortunately, he couldn't for other reasons. But I'm going to let you cover his team for us because I know you're such a big Ohio State fan. How about this Ohio State team this year? Chris Holtmann, new head coach coming in. Any chance for to make any noise here?
I don't think they're going to be making noise in year one, but they've certainly getting recruits lined up left and right. So they should be much improved in 2018 and 19. But in the meantime, they're still going to have a little bit more of a stacked schedule than what we're used to seeing in the past. They're going to also be part of the PK Invitational where they face Gonzaga and either Florida or Stanford in the first part of the brackets. But I think the other thing we also have to look forward to in the near future as it relates to Ohio State, Cincinnati is going to be part of their home and home starting next year, and keep an eye out for possibly Xavier and Dayton in the near future.
Yeah. We're more excited about the year after this because of that game.
David, they do have Jay Sean Tate. I mean, he probably has to do everything for this team, but he just might.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't see him doing enough in this conference and against the most of their teams. I'm a big fan of Chris Holtmann. It wouldn't completely shock me if he had this team inside the bubble. It wouldn't be the first time that he exceeded expectations by a mile. His first year at Butler, I don't think anybody was expecting him to do anything, and they ended up in the tournament, I think, in the top half of it. But I'm just not seeing it just yet. I'm kind of with Stalika in the sense that I'm excited about the year after this.
Well, Tytel, my school, the Rutgers Scarlet Knights, you said last year that you really liked what Steve Pikel was doing, and you got Sanders, you've got Deshaun Freeman. You think we can make a little noise?
I do not. I like that Coach Pikel is going to get to celebrate the 30th year of his NIT title when he played at UConn, and I love his backcourt. I just, only one shame on me. I'm not picking him this year.
You're not picking him this year. Matt, how about you?
I'm not either.
Matt, how about Rutgers?
I will say this. I think they're not going to be like a 2-16. I think they'll win 4 or 5 conference games, but still probably not enough for them to not finish either 13th or 14th.
Well, we'll win more conference games than the football team does, but maybe not by many.
I got to say, as the author of Throwback Thursday, I have to applaud Rutgers for their opening night team, and that's going to be City College of New York. Well done, Scarlet Knights.
Oh, my God. That's a real game?
That is a real game, not an exhibition.
Hey, don't go beating up on CCNY former champions there. Come on.
Well, vacated champion.
Tytel, how about another team with a new head coach, the Indiana Hoosiers? I almost said Pacers. So that's the type of night it's been. But the Indiana Hoosiers, Archie Miller coming in. Is there anything now, from what we know from Indiana fans that we've spoken to, they can go winless in the Big Ten, and these fans will still be happy because Tom Crean is gone. Is that right?
Yes. I mean, like, I didn't hate Crean as much as everybody else. I thought he was a perfectly fine coach. Some reason for optimism is they have a Miller brother, albeit the second best one. They have Colin Hartman back after missing all of last year due to a knee injury. And the unsung hero, possibly of this team, Bruiser Flint. How many coaches in America bring in an assistant who was a 4-time conference coach of the year, albeit at Drexel? Like, I think the coaching staff is really solid. And they lose Hartman, who's a senior. If they bring back Johnson and Newkirk, the junior class next year with sophomore Juwan Morgan, they can make some noise next year. I don't think it's this year, but I really like the coaching staff.
And Matt, one more team that's going to have a new coach next season. How about the Nebraska Cornhuskers?
Oh, you are. Crushing the non-believers. You will all be crushed.
His hope is basically Isaac Copeland plays like the NBA player he looked like as a freshman at Georgetown and the scrub he was after that. And basically, needs that and – yeah, James Palmer being awesome. Like, Glenn Watts is actually a good player, and I think if he were on the open market, he'll get some nice offers next year if and when they'll be having a new coach. But it's not enough there, and it's gone way south. And actually, I will say, Tim Miles is a good coach. I think in a new destination, maybe like, I don't know, somewhere like Mountain West, Missouri Valley, somewhere there. I think he'll turn another program around at some point, but it's just gone south in Nebraska. And, well, he could join many others who – Barry Collier, Denny Neath, anyone else who saw their career just go up and smoke in Nebraska.
I hate that I'm about to do this, but, David, I'm going to let you have a second here to talk about Nebraska as well.
Well, I just don't see how you can write off a man that has done the things he's done. I mean, he built North Dakota State. Look at what their football team's doing. That's all him because they transitioned up to Division I. And then he turned Colorado State around, made them a perennial tournament team. And now he is, I think, this is the year. All the pieces are in place. The distance that he needs to cover is less than what he needed to cover where he was at before. I mean, don't be surprised to see them at or near the top of the standings and as a protected seat.
Well, David, I actually have a special guest that's coming on to respond to those comments from you. It's coming right up on my screen right now.
You are 100% wrong. I mean, nothing you've said has been right.
What the hell is Kermit doing? Why is Kermit on our show? I can't stand Chad. This is just not working.
I believe that's Rick Pitino, actually.
Oh. I thought that was Wallace Shawn doing Kermit the Frog now.
So, David, even your fellow puppets don't agree with you. I don't know.
Kermit is not a fellow puppet. Screw Kermit. Who likes him anyway?
On that note, Tytel, let me go over to you here. Who do you think the conference player of the year is going to be?
I think it's Miles Bridges. I like Ethan Happ, but I really think it's Bridges.
I think it's Bridges. Matt, would you agree with him that Bridges is the best player in the conference?
Yes, although I'll give a shout-out to Vince Edwards, and I think Brian McIntosh has a much better senior year shooting, and it's, that's the top three, but I'll go with Bridges.
Okay. So, Tytel, you didn't go with Ethan Happ despite saying that he was the best player in the country. He's not the best player in the conference.
He might be, but Bridges has more help. I think Happ's going to get double-teamed every night.
Okay. All right. Well, I guess on that note, let's run through each of us here real quick, finally, for any final thoughts you have, as well as let me know who you think your conference regular season champion is and how many bids the league is going to get. Matt, let me start with you.
Yeah, I got Michigan State probably at about 13-5, 14-4, and I have 7 bids: Michigan State, Purdue, Northwestern, Michigan, Minnesota. I still have it just kind of like an 8-9 type seed, Illinois, and then Maryland in the play-in game.
Maryland in the playing game. Okay, Stalika.
I'm going to say Purdue actually wins the conference. I'm going to say the Boilers, Michigan State, Northwestern, Minnesota, and Maryland are my 5 locks, and I'll take 2 out of 3 from the pot of Wisconsin, Michigan, and Penn State to make it to the tournament this year.
I actually almost agree with you, other than I'd have Michigan State winning the conference, but I agree with you on the teams and the 3 bubble teams. But Tytel, what are your thoughts on the Big Ten?
I got 7 in. I agree with Stalika, only about 5 are locks. I got the Spartans winning it all. As far as a fun fact, Coach Beilein at Michigan, he's never been an assistant. He was always a head coach. He's 9 wins away from 700 career wins. Like, this guy's going to get in the Hall of Fame eventually. It's amazing.
Hmm. David, last but not least, who's your Big Ten champion, although I don't think I really want to hear it, and how many teams make the field?
Well, I think it's a toss-up between Nebraska and Michigan State. I mean, you can't write off Michigan State and just assume Nebraska's going to win it. It won't be as easy as that. So those two are in the field, and I think we're going to see 7 in total. I like many. I like Wisconsin, despite the fact that they're rebuilding. Purdue liked them a lot, and I think Maryland gets in as well.
All right, David, do you have any final thoughts for the night?
Well, yeah, I'm glad you asked, Chad. The other night, where is it? Let me get the screen sharing here. Okay, here it is. Sorry. The other night, I mentioned how I had launched this great program, this great thing, the David Griggs Foundation, and Chad buzzed it because, you know, Chad's just the kind of person that hears about this great charitable organization and decides to buzz it. Well, I'd like to reintroduce it. And can you see there? I can't tell. Is Hoops HD up on the screen?
I see the Hoops HD website, and I see there's okay. A new tab there.
Yes, Foundation. The new tab here is the David Griggs Foundation, and I'm glad here. There it is. You can still stay
Dave,
there.
No.
Okay. I'm not okay. And then, like, well, there Chad goes again. Buzzing charity, and I hope that this helps clear up what this is about. Here is a bit about the organization raising money for the cause.
Click here to give.
Yeah, and so if you want to give, this is what you would do. You
don't
just come
button.
To this
don't
site,
you
and you click this link, and what the hell? Can you check your rip roll? Charity.
He's gone. He's gonna be back. I moved David Griggs from our podcast. I'm myself, John Tytel, Matt Sikowski, John Stalika, the only 4 members of the Hoops HD panel tonight. I want to thank everyone for joining us for our Big Ten podcast. We'll be back again real soon without David Griggs ever again. Thanks for joining us. Have a great evening.